Once again, we're continuing our little series that is simply called Our Core Values, right? It's a series that has been taking us through the core values of Dallas-Fort Worth Church. Now, when we started the church 11 years ago, we had six core values that we had identified to be just what we valued. But if you've been with us at all throughout this series, you know that we actually added a seventh core value. As I've mentioned numerous times as I've spoke through this series, that it was at one of our staff meetings in this past year that my wife, Stacy, had made the comment. She's like, you know what? We really have seven core values. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she talked about the fact, she goes, you know, generosity is something that we have always valued. We just have never really identified it as a core value. And both Sheila and I there in the staff meeting, we were like, yeah, you're right, you know? It's true. We have always been a church that's been about generosity. And it's funny, our letterhead, and I mentioned this, confirms that. Because from day one, if you look at our letterhead, at the very bottom, it says this phrase, love generously, live generously, give generously, right? So we have always been about generosity. And because of that, we kicked off this series a few weeks back, and we officially made generosity our seventh core value. And so our seven core values are this. We value God's word. We value worship. We value obedience. We value people. We value authenticity. We value simplicity, and we value generosity. Those are our seven core values. And there's other things that we believe in, but these are the core values that make up our church. When we make decisions as a church, we ask that question, how does this decision align with these values? And if they doesn't align, then we won't make those decisions. And so it's how we base who we are as a church and how we move forward as a church. And if you've been here in this series, you know we started off several weeks ago with our first core value, speaking about God's word and just the fact that we shouldn't just read his word, but we need to know his word. We need to understand his word. We need to be living his word out in our lives. And then we talked about the fact that we value worship, right? And not just singing here on Sundays, but that our lives should be worship to the Lord, that we should glorify him in all that we do and delight in doing it. And then next we talked about the fact that we value obedience and the fact that we're called to listen to the Lord, but not just listen, right? You know, a lot of us, we listen. I remember as a little kid, I listened to my parents, but I didn't always obey them, right? And so we're called to listen to the Lord and then respond, to walk in obedience to him. He commands us to walk in obedience. And then next we talked about the fact that we value people, which means all people are welcome here at Dallas-Fort Worth Church. You'll see it on the sign, all are welcome. And not just are they welcome, all of them will be loved because we value all people in the same way that Jesus does. And then last week we talked about the fact that we value authenticity, which really means two things, right? We want to be people who are living authentic lives for Christ. You know, we don't just talk the talk, we actually walk the walk. But we also want to be people who are real about the fact that we don't have it all together, that we don't want to put on this facade and this mask like, oh yeah, everything's perfect when everything isn't perfect, that we need to be real, that we need to be authentic. And so if you miss any of these messages, especially if you call Dallas Four Square Church your home, I would just encourage you to go. You can watch, you can listen to them online, because I think it's important that we all know and understand these values and what they mean for us as a church. Now, this week, We're going to take a look at our sixth core value, which is the fact that we value simplicity. Now, the thing is, this value of simplicity has probably been one of the most confusing values for people when they see the values of our church. And I think it's because a lot of people don't really understand what simplicity means. The other values, right, they make sense to us. I mean, we all get that God's word is important. We get that worship is important. And even though we may not like to be obedient, right, we get that obedience is important. We understand that people are important. And even though we may struggle with being authentic, most of us understand the value of authenticity. But I've had many people question even this value that we have of simplicity. And I've had many people say, what does that even mean, right? What are we saying when we say that we value simplicity? Well, this is one of the main reasons that we do this series through our core values, is so that we can understand these values and what they mean to us as a value, why we value them. And so as we look at this value of simplicity and what it actually means, let's start by talking about what it is not, okay? Because a lot of people hear that word simplicity, and they actually think it's just an excuse to be lazy. But let me tell you this, I believe that simplicity is far from laziness. The truth is, simplicity often takes more work and definitely more discipline to be simplistic, especially in the world that we live in today, right? The fact is, life today can get chaotic. It can get extremely busy and oftentimes get out of control for us. And I think a question we have to ask ourselves is, how many of us are spending too much of our time, money, and energy on things that we shouldn't be, and not enough on the things that are truly important? I think oftentimes it feels like we're just moving kind of from one critical need to the next, always reacting really to what seems urgent, to what has to get done in our minds, instead of really stepping back and saying, what is important here? What's most important here? I wonder how many of us are struggling in today's world to manage our limited resources, our limited time, money, energy, right, in the midst of a seemingly endless list of demands that the world puts on us, where we always feel exhausted and where the world makes us feel guilty that we're not doing more. Anyone feel like that at times? Am I the only one here that feels like that in this world that we live in? To be honest, I think I actually just described a good portion of people in America, right? Because honestly, it's hard to find people nowadays who feel like their life is actually under control, especially when it comes to work, family, faith, and whatever else we try to squeeze in there, right? We are a people that have spun out of control. And the problem is we don't know what to do about it, right? How do we slow down? How do we get out of this vortex? Now, here's the thing. I don't think that lifestyle is the desire, really, of any of us. I'm guessing most people caught up in this never-ending cycle actually long for a different life. A life that doesn't have us constantly trying to cram one more activity, one more thing, one more event into an already overloaded schedule. A life that doesn't require explaining to our kids or to friends or others why we don't have time to play with them, to hang out with them, to make it to their events. A life with time for family, friends, and of course, time for God. Isn't that what we actually long for? I know that's what I long for. But the sad thing is, for most people, this life seems like a pipe dream, right? Are you kidding? In today's world with the work and all that I have to do, I can't rest. I can't take that time. Because the life we're familiar with is one of demands, that's always demanding and asking more of us, more than oftentimes we had to give. And so this is why I believe we need to be people who embrace this value of simplicity, this value of slowing down, taking a deep breath, right? Have you ever done that sometimes in the middle of just chaos, just... Sometimes it feels good just to stop and to take a deep breath and to focus on what's really important in life, right? The problem is many of us have bought into this lie of simplicity that it's just not possible. Have you seen my schedule? Have you seen my list of to-dos? Have you seen all that I have to do? There is no way that I can slow down. Because if I slow down, if I choose to simplify, I'm just going to get buried even deeper. We worry that this fast-paced world will leave us behind if we actually take time to stop and to smell the roses. But I want to tell you this today. I really believe that that's a lie of the enemy. The enemy wants us to believe that we can't stop. The enemy wants us to believe that we can't simplify. The enemy wants to keep us busy and overwhelm us with the high demands of life. He wants to keep us from stopping and slowing down and spending time with the Lord and with our family, because he knows that it will keep us from growing in God. Think about it. How often does our time with God get pushed to the side because we're too busy? We don't have time to stop and read our Bible, to pray, to worship, to be with Him. The problem is, this is completely opposite of how God desires it to be for our lives. God shouldn't just be one of the priorities on a list that we hope we get to, right? He should be the priority, our number one priority. And believe me, I am speaking to myself right now as much as anyone else in this room. Matthew 6:33 tells us this: "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek Him first. And here's the thing, if we seek Him first, He will help us with everything else. He'll help all the other things fall into place. That's simplicity at its best. It's making God our priority and living the life that God has called us to live. Not the life that the world tells us, right, that we need to live. Because the world will tell us, oh, you can't slow down. Nope, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. It's not even the life that I think sometimes we think we need to live. But the life that God has called us to live, that's what we need to be seeking. And to take a closer look at what that looks like, you can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read the first two chapters here in Hebrews 12 this morning. Because I think these two verses, they give us some perspective, really, on living a life of simplicity. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. It says this, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we'll stop there. Now, in these two verses, Paul is sharing with us some wisdom on how to live as followers of Jesus. And as I read these scriptures, there were a couple things that stood out to me in regards to this value of simplicity. And so I want to share with you a few things that I think we can learn here from Paul in these scriptures about simplicity, how to simplify. The first is this. Number one, we must throw off everything that hinders us. Paul says that right there in verse 1. He starts by saying, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, is anybody in here a fan of the Olympics? I am a huge fan of the Olympics. My wife and I, we both love the Olympics, whether it's the winter or summer. We love the Olympics. And the crazy thing is, believe it or not, the Olympics were already a huge thing before Paul wrote these scriptures. Now, not the Winter Olympics, of course, but many of the track and field events that we see in the Summer Olympics today came from the Olympics in Greece, in ancient Greece. And so Paul here is using an analogy that people back in his time, back in this time, would have been able to relate to. Now, for us to fully understand this statement, we need to understand what the athletes used to wear when they competed. The truth is, they actually wore nothing. In the early Olympics, they actually competed in the buff, right? I can't imagine, and I really don't want to imagine what that must have been like for them. But the truth is that this was true of most of the ancient day Olympians. You see, we have to remember that they didn't have the streamlined Nike or Adidas or Under Armour gear that we have today. No, they wore these big tunics, right, that were baggy and hung down around their legs, making it hard to run and hard to compete in events. I actually read that they tried at the very beginning to wear garments when they competed in these games, but they would trip on them and they'd get tangled up in them. And so they just decided, forget it, let's just throw them off, right? They decided to throw off whatever hindered them. And for them, it was their tunics. They threw them off and they ran and competed with nothing. Now, understand this. Paul isn't telling the early church to take off their clothes and run around naked, okay? He was using this as an analogy and encouraging them in something that they would understand. And he wanted them to realize that they can't get weighed down with things that are going to hinder their walk with Christ. And so they need to remove what would ever hinder them. Because there's so many things in our world. There's so many things in life that weigh us down, that hinder us. We take on so many responsibilities and we complicate our lives with so many things that bog us down and overwhelm us. And we use scriptures then like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or nothing is impossible with God. And those are great scriptures and those are true scriptures. But the problem is oftentimes we take on things that God didn't call us to take on. We take on more than we should. Many of us allowed ourselves to go farther and do more, say yes to things that we shouldn't say yes to. We're praying and asking God to help us for things that He never told us to do. Many of us have allowed ourselves to take on these things that hinder us, and like Paul says, we have to throw those things off. What are those things weighing us down? What are those things we've said yes to that maybe we shouldn't have said yes to? We have to get rid of these things. We have to learn to simplify. But the question is, how do we really do that? Well, Paul gives us some more advice here on how to simplify. The next thing we can learn is this. Number two, We must fix our eyes on Jesus, right? At the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2, he says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." The key to throwing off everything that hinders us and living a life of simplicity is making sure that our focus is on Jesus. That we're listening to Him. That we're following Him. That we're doing what He is telling us to do. Not what the world or others are telling us to do. But that we're listening to the voice of the Lord and following His direction. Because a lot of people will try to sound like the voice of the Lord, right? A lot of people will try to tell us what we need to do. But we have to make sure we're focusing on Jesus and allowing Jesus to tell us what to do. In John 8:28, Jesus was talking to some Pharisees who had been grilling him with questions. And I love the statement that Jesus makes there. He just says, you know, I don't do anything on my own. I speak only what the Father tells me to speak. Think about that. I've talked about this scripture before. What if that is how we lived our life? And I know that's hard for us, but what if that was true of us? What if we only did or said what Jesus told us to say? I truly bet that our lives would be a lot simpler, right? Because we're only doing what God said, telling us to do, and those things that God tells us to do, He will do for us, right? He goes before us. I bet our life would be a lot simpler. You see, if we want to be people who value simplicity, I believe we have to ask ourselves a few questions and really ask the Lord these questions. First is this: what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? Because many of us are doing things that we shouldn't be doing. We're people that we don't like to say no. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We don't want, you know, whatever the reason. But just because something's good doesn't mean it's right. What am I doing that what are we doing that shouldn't be doing? The second question, it's like it, just reverse. What am I not doing that I should be doing? Oftentimes we do these things that other people want us to do, and then we're not doing what God is calling us to do. And so we have to ask these questions: what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? And then what am I not doing that I should be doing? The truth is, there are a lot of good things out there that we can be doing. But are they the things that we should be doing? Is it what God is calling us to do? There are many things that people tell me as a pastor that I should do. Oh, pastor, you need to do this. Oh, you should do that. But here's the thing. I always listen and I seek the Lord, but I don't answer to other people, right? I don't answer to people. I answer to the Lord. And I don't try to say that in a very cocky way, because I am very considerate when people come to me. Okay, let me pray about that. Okay, yeah, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, now a lot of times people will tell me what they need to do, and I'm like, I don't have time to that, but it's a great idea. Why don't you do it? Oh, no, I can't do it. Sorry. Right? Oh, but they want me to take all the time and effort to do it. But if God's telling me, if there have been great ideas that people bring in, I'm like, yeah, and I'll do. But a lot of times people try to tell me what I need to do, and I don't answer to people. I have to seek the Lord because I have to do what He's called me to do. My desire as a pastor here at this church is that we are doing what God is calling us to do as a church. There are a lot of great things that other churches do. Doesn't mean we're supposed to do. I just had a great conversation with a ministry leader here in our community, and I said, I love what you guys do. I said, our heart and desire as a church is not to recreate things. Our heart is not to be like, oh, that's a cool thing. Let's do that too and compete against you in senses. Our heart is always to say, oh, that's awesome. How can we come alongside with you and partner with you in that? And so a lot of times we have to be listening to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, how do we serve you in these situations. Because I can't do what I'm not called to do. I have to listen to the Lord and do my best to seek Him as a church. And so if I don't feel like the Lord's telling me to do what someone's telling me I need to do, then the truth is we're probably not going to do it unless they want to take it and run with it. We're probably not going to do that. And here's the thing. I believe this is how all of us should seek to live our lives. And again, I'm not perfect in this, but it's my desire, right? We need to be seeking the Lord and allowing Him to show us what is it we should be doing and what is it we shouldn't be doing. If you have your Bibles, you can flip them real quick to Luke chapter 10. I want to read one more section of Scripture this morning as we talk about this idea of simplicity. Some of you are probably very familiar with this story. It's a well-known story. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And so, if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. It says this, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42 is what we're going to read. It says, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. The interesting thing here in this scripture is that Jesus praises Mary and actually rebukes, in a sense, Martha, right? Now, in our world, this would be viewed as backwards. What? Why aren't you up helping your sister? You should be up helping your sister, right? I mean, after all, Martha is serving others. And Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Many would view Mary in this situation as being lazy. But Mary understood something in this moment that Martha didn't. That being with Jesus at this time was more important than anything else. And Martha was so busy doing all the stuff, right, all these things. But she was missing out on what mattered most. Spending time with her Savior. I share this section of Scripture this morning for two reasons. I think there's a few lessons that we can learn here from Mary and Martha that go on along with this idea of simplicity. The first is this. Oftentimes, the things we think are essential really aren't. Right? We get mixed up. Oh, I got to do this. I have to do this. Is it really essential? Because a lot of times they really aren't. Martha thought what she was doing was important. And it definitely seemed like it. She even thought it was so important that her sister should be doing it as well. But Martha had it all wrong. She was focusing on the wrong things. And we have to ask ourselves, are there things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? Are we focusing on the wrong things? Are there things that are taking priority in our life that pull us away from our relationship with the Lord or with our family or with those that we're supposed to be pouring into right now? And the second reason I shared this second of our section of Scripture is the other lesson that it points out is this, is that we miss out on what's truly important when we take our eyes off Jesus. Martha was so busy doing what she thought was important that she wasn't seeing Jesus. She wasn't seeing this opportunity to be with Him, to be in His presence. How often do we miss opportunities to be with Jesus because we're busy doing something, right? Whether it's important or not, we're doing stuff. And so we need to ask ourselves the difficult question. What is it that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? What are we missing out on because our lives are too busy and out of control? As Jesus walked this earth, He lived a life of simplicity. He knew when he needed to be out there ministering to the masses, right? He also knew when his disciples needed some one-on-one time. But more importantly, he knew when he needed to get away from everybody and just be with the Father. Right? A lot of times the disciples, where's Jesus? He's with the Father. He's spending time with the Father, seeking Him, seeking His will. Living a life of simplicity is living the life that God has called us to live. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say, oh, living for Jesus means go, 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 go. We're supposed to go into the world, but Jesus went into the world with the Lord's direction, with the Father's direction, knowing when to be with the masses, when to be with the few, when to be by Himself. And so here's the thing. Living a life of simplicity means we may have to learn how to set boundaries in our life, which I know it's hard for many of us. I know it took many years in our marriage and in youth ministry and life for me to start to understand boundaries, because it means that we may have to say no to things. I'm not someone, when I was growing up, I didn't like to say no. I didn't like to upset someone or disappoint someone. And so I would say yes to just about everything. But we have to have boundaries. It may mean that we have to say no. And it's not easy, because when I started to learn to say no, people didn't like it, right? People don't like it when you say no. I know this from personal experience, especially now as a pastor. You know, contrary to what some people may believe, pastors do work more than just a few hours on Sunday, all right? If you're sitting out there and going, what does he even do, right? They work more than just a few hours on Sundays. And contrary to what some people may believe, the role of a pastor is a difficult calling on your life. And if I'm honest, man, these last 3 years, in the midst of the pandemic and just the social and political unrest, it's hard. It's not easy. And I know it's not easy just as people, but as pastors, there's a challenge. The end of 2022, Barna, if you've heard of Barna, they do polls. They did a poll on pastors. And 42% of those pastors wanted to quit. They wanted to give up the ministry. And some of the top reasons were immense stress, isolation, the current political divide, and then the effects that the ministry had on their family. Those were some of the top reasons that those 42% wanted to quit. And then some of the latest statistics that actually were before COVID, they were pre-COVID, they stated that approximately 1,500 pastors quit. 1,500 pastors quit each month in the United States. That's 180,000 pastors per year that quit. And these statistics are mind-boggling, right? How can a job that should be one of the greatest callings in the world, speaking the gospel, living your life for Jesus, how can this calling that's so great destroy so many lives? Well, I believe the biggest culprit is lack of boundaries. Pastors are horrible at having boundaries. It's this fear that we're going to let people down, and this willingness to sacrifice our health and our family to help others. And it just eats at pastors. And it makes it difficult for pastors. When God called me to pastor this church, I knew the statistics on pastors, which is why I told the Lord, you know, God, I'm about obedience, and I'm going to be obedient to what you've called me to be. But I told the Lord, please, not at the expense of my family. My family is my first calling. My wife and my kids, they are who I pastor before I pastor this church. And so I said, Lord, not at the expense of my family. And the Lord just said, hey, if you follow me, if you keep boundaries, if you rest, I will take care of your family. Which is why from the very beginning I have created boundaries for me and my family here at the church. This is why many of you can rarely get a hold of me on a Friday, because Fridays are my day off. Now, I've told you before, if there is an emergency, and when I say emergency, I mean an emergency, right? Because there are certain people's ideas of emergency which aren't necessarily my idea of an emergency. But if there is an emergency, right, I'll drop whatever I am doing and I will go. My family knows that. And there's been times where when an emergency happens, I'm like, hey guys, sorry, there's a situation, I need to take off. My family knows that and I will drop everything. But if it's not an emergency, it gets put on my list. And when I get back into the office, I will come back and take care of that. And that's because, like I told you, it was hard. But I learned that I have to have boundaries to protect myself and to protect my family. And the truth is, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm talking about a pastor from my own experience and some of the statistics, but it doesn't matter if you're a pastor, a teacher, construction worker, stay-at-home mom, you're in the corporate world, whatever it is that you do, we all have to have boundaries. We all have to know our limits. Because the world is always going to demand more of us than we can actually give. And so we need boundaries so that we can learn to live a life of simplicity. And here's the thing. It can't be our boundaries. Oh yeah, I've got boundaries set up. It can't be our boundaries. It has to be God's boundaries. We have to seek him because he knows what we can and can't handle. And so are we seeking the Lord? Are we listening to him and his desire for our lives? What are we doing right now that we shouldn't be doing? And what aren't we doing that we should be? We need to be asking that question on a regular basis. Every year at Dallas, or excuse me, when I was at Newburgh Four Square Church, we started to ask that question. Okay, as a church, what are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? What aren't we doing that we should be doing? And I think as individuals, we have to continue to ask ourselves that question on a regular basis. And we need to pray about it, right? We need to take it to the Lord because, again, simplicity is not an excuse for laziness. It's about maximizing our effectiveness for the Lord. That's what simplicity is. It's maximizing our effectiveness for the Lord. It's knowing when to be upserving and caring for others and when to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in his love. It's seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, so all other things will come together in and through him, right? And here's the thing. It's going to look different for each of us. We all have different boundaries and different limits. We all have to figure out what works for us. Just because your friend or your neighbor or a family member's like, oh, I can do this, you should do this. No, we all have to figure what works for us. We all have to seek the Lord and ask him for directions. What are we doing? Not what are they doing? What's that person? No. It's individual. We need to seek the Lord. Lord, what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? What do I need to say no to? What do I need to let go of? Bob Goff used to say every Thursday he wrote a resignation letter to something. But it was this idea that he said, if I say yes to this now, then I need to say no to something else, right? And so what are those things that we need to say no to? What are those things we need to stop doing so that we can be doing something else, so that we can say yes to the Lord and His desire for our lives? Simplicity is not laziness. It's actually probably one of the toughest things to do in today's world. But it opens the door for us to sit at Jesus' feet and to do the things that He desires us to do. That's why simplicity is a core value here of Dallas Foursquare Church. Because we want to make sure that what we're doing are the things that God has called us to do, and that we're doing them well, right? When we're doing 50 million things, we don't do anything well. But when we focus on what Jesus has for us, we do it well, and lives are impacted and changed. That's what simplicity is about at Dallas Foursquare Church. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these core values that You have given to us. And Lord, our heart and desire to carry them out. And Lord, I know we're not perfect in that, but we want to do our best, Lord, to walk in these values that They've given us. And this value of simplicity, it's hard. Lord, it is challenging in this fast-paced, crazy world. But sometimes we just have to stop, take a deep breath, and allow You to be Lord of our lives. Allow You to guide us and direct us, Lord. And so we give You this word this morning. We just pray that You help us to have ears that are open to hear. What is it that You're speaking to us this morning, Lord? How do we as individuals need to simplify? What are the things that we need to say no to? What is it that we are doing that we shouldn't be, that we need to let go of? What is it that we aren't doing, Lord, that because we've been so busy, we've missed some things that You have for us and opportunities that are out there? Help us to grab hold of those, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to live simplified lives, lives that are simply maximizing the effectiveness of serving You. And so we thank You for these things. We thank You for Your hand upon our life. We give all these things to You. In Jesus' precious name, amen.